You skipped one announcement. The men are going fishing, right? August 20th or 20th. Cost is $105. If you want to go deep sea fishing, it's $105. That gets you everything. Fishing license, fishing poles, everything. You can see Rick right here. Raise your hand, Rick, guys. It'll be a great time out on the water. Praise God. It's great to be home. I love going out around the world and ministering. And Pastor Otto and I had an incredible time in Peru for the 8 days that we were there. So much opportunity. God is just so amazing. I'm just amazed by God because of what he does. And the title of my message today is Graces to Us, because God gives graces to each one of us to be able to do the things that he's called us to do. Now, I'm going to talk about Peru, but I'm going to do it through the Word today. So if you stand with me, we're going to read Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. All right, it's out of the New Living Translation, beginning at verse 1. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Heavenly Father, as we are in this chapter 4 of Colossians, you have taught us so much through this book. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts could receive, Lord, this last chapter of what you're calling us to. Lord, to a life of prayer, a life of encouragement, Father God. And that, Lord, that we would be able to seize every opportunity we have to tell somebody about Jesus. Be with us in the Spirit and in truth today. Let us be transformed from the hearing of your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. God has extended his grace to us, to our lives, to be a light in the world. And let me tell you, from Corona to the ends of the earth, we need to be a light. Can I hear an amen? We need to have a message of hope so that people can grasp the hope that God has for them, because so many people are in a hopeless state right now, and they need Jesus. As I went to, Pastor Otto and I went to Peru, we ministered 20 times. We were there 8 days. We got one day off, so we ministered 20 times in 7 days. Pastor Otto was, we flew different airlines. He flies for free because his daughter works for Avianca, and I got to pay my way, so... I flew American Airlines, and I got to Lima, but he got stranded in El Salvador because of a storm. So I woke up Wednesday morning and to no Pastor Otto in my room. I'm like, this is an issue, because he's my translator. So I text the people that are lined up all my meetings. I text the lady. I said, got no Otto, need a translator. You know, you're picking me up in 2 hours, so... She said, don't worry, God's got it. I said, I'm not worried. And, you know, I mean, hey, I'll just stand up there and talk. And so they picked me up, and we went to some schools. Now, while I'm talking, I'm going to show you some slides. Now, in these schools, this was an all-girl high school. And they took me to 6 classrooms and gave me a half hour in each classroom to share the gospel message. And I shared in that high school 6 times that day. I just went as long as they wanted. We were there 4 hours. I was talking and talking and talking and talking, you know. And the lady that set up my meetings, Ruth, translated for me. And it was the first time she ever translated. But all these girls that you're seeing, I'm going to point this way because I see it there. But all these girls that you're seeing, they all made a commitment to Jesus. They all prayed with me and gave their lives to Christ. They all said, we want to be better people. We know that we need Jesus. And so it was an incredible time going from classroom to classroom to share. It's kind of funny because they're like, do you need to use the restroom? We'll keep the girls out, you know, because there's no men's restroom in an all-girls school. But the lady that set it up was a pastor, a woman pastor in the city, and she said she put together a plan of morality training and took it to the principal, and the principal allows her on campus to share with the students. And they brought me in, and like I said, they took me to six classrooms. I mean, there was 3,000 girls in that school, so I hit maybe 120 girls, you know, and so there's a lot of work to do there. But she uses the Book of Hope and goes classroom to classroom and shares morality with the students. And just a wonderful time that we had there. And then from there, I went home and or back to my hotel for a few minutes. And I went out that night to a church in Chorrillos. And in Chorrillos, I preached the same message that I preached to you the Sunday that I left. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I mean, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And I gave the same altar call. And these are all the people that came to give their life to Jesus at the end of the service. My altar call was this, exactly what I asked you. Are you just dating Jesus? Or are you all in? And I explained, dating Jesus means that you come to church and you look good. You say the right things, you do the right things at church. But when you go home, there's no evidence that you've ever been to church. I said, that's dating Jesus. I said, going all in with Jesus is that you're allowing the character of God to come alive inside of you, and it shows, and people out in the world around you know that you're a born-again Christian because you're acting like it. So are you all in, or are you just dating? So that was my altar call every time. Almost every person in that church came forward to respond to be saved. That was my first night. I'm like, wow. I'm thinking, I wonder how the pastor feels right now. But then they needed healing too, so I prayed for healing on them and laid hands on them. And again, Ruth translated for me. And the whole thing that I want to share with you out of Colossians 4 is what I do is not possible without you. I can't do it without your prayers. See, this whole passage is about praying so that Paul could do more, so that Paul encounter more people. That's what it's about. And you know, so you, because you're praying for me, when I go there, you guys laid hands on me and send me, you help me financially to get there. It's just incredible what God can do. So because Wednesday night they said, okay, now tomorrow morning we're gonna pick you up and you're gonna speak at the Assemblies of God leadership meeting. I'm like, well, what does that mean? And they said, well, they have a new superintendent for the country. He oversees 5,000 churches. And this, he just got elected, new superintendent, new assistant superintendent, new secretary, new treasurer, all new leadership in the Assemblies in Peru. And they brought all the superintendents of the nation together for a meeting. And this is that meeting. And they said, we'd like you to share for an hour with these pastors. I'm like, really? You know, I'm walking in and I meet the superintendent. He says, okay, I want you to speak for an hour. I want you to pray for him for a half hour. And I want you to bring the fire. I'm like, okay. Pastor Otto said, after the meeting, he said, you know, you accelerated very fast. I said, because we had to get somewhere in a hurry. And the pastors, God gave me words of knowledge about specific healing things, but right here when I'm laying hands, to stop right there, I'm laying hands on these guys, these pastors right here in the front, because the Lord showed me, he said, that somebody here has a problem with their right knee. And so these are all the pastors that came forward because they had a problem for their right knee, but it wasn't physical, it was spiritual. The Lord said, somebody told me that somebody, the reason why the pain is in your right knee is because your right side is your authority side, and somebody is trying to undermine your authority in your ministry. I said, how many of you say that? And they're like, all these hands went up. Even out in the congregation, all these hands went up. And I'm like, okay, we're on the right track right now. But it stops today. So God gave me that word of knowledge for that. And then go ahead, Ed. All the pastors came forward, and as they came forward, the superintendent just asked me, he said, would you pray for every one of them? So I went through it. I laid hands on all these pastors. Some were crying. Some were just falling out under the power of God. It was just an incredible time. And this guy right here in the red jacket there, he's a missionary from Texas to Iquitos. And he's like, okay, 2019, we need you in Iquitos for our 100-year celebration. And I'm like, 2019, okay, you know. But you know what was prophesied to me is that I would be booked 3 years out. Do the math. 3 years out. He wants me in Iquitos for the 100-year celebration of the Assemblies of God there. And I'm like, praise God. He says, you know what? I'm going to sow a seed. I'll pay your way. I'm like, well, I hadn't heard that one before. So it's just, God was just moving. And that's the superintendent there in Peru. And he has a very large church. And all the leaders came and said, you know, we want you to come to our churches. We don't want you just going to Lima anymore. We, you know, would you be able to fly around the country? Because we need this fire that you brought to us today to go around the country. And I'm like, absolutely. You know, it just takes money, right? And I know somebody that's got it all. So he just keeps supplying the need. And so after that one, we went to Pastor Arturo's church. Pastor Arturo, he's a superintendent in the nation, so he was at that meeting. And this, I don't have a pointer, but see the lady in the white sweater right there? It was right below her. Yeah, that lady there. She had her thyroid removed, and she couldn't lift her arms above here. And so I said, okay, when I just took her hands, and I just begin to pray, and I just begin to lift them up, and I'm watching her face, because I'm like, I don't want to hurt this lady, you know, and I'm lifting them up, and they're up over her head like this and stuff, and I looked at her, and I said, is there any pain? And she's like, no. I said, go down. She went down. I said, go up. And she went down and up and down and up and down, and she was very excited. But the lady right next to her on that side, with the scarf around, she came to me, you know, and I don't mean this to be offensive to anybody if you got hearing aids, but usually when people get hearing aids, they're like, okay, I can hear, I'm fine, you know. We used to have a deaf ministry here, and all the times the deaf people asked me to pray for them, it was never for their hearing. This little lady, she walked up to me, yanked out her hearing aid, and said, I said, be open. She said, okay, it's good. The pastor told me, Pastor Arturo told me, we went to lunch on Monday. He says, you know, he says, that lady never pays attention to me because she can't hear me. And he says, and Sunday she paid attention for the first time. Because that night we talked about the healing power of the blood of Jesus, and God just touched them. So from the next day, they asked us to be on Friday. They asked us to be on the radio, and as we were on the radio there, it's kind of funny, you know, going internationally. How many people ask me about President Obama? Ask me about who am I going to vote for, Trump or Hillary? You know, they're like, you know, they everybody's got an opinion. When Trump said a few weeks ago, the world is watching. He's not kidding. The world is watching America. I can't believe people on the streets would stop us and ask us, you from America? Yeah. Well, what do you think about Trump? You know, or what do you think about, you know, Obama? And I mean, even when we were in Africa, a little boy asked Jesse, is your president a God-fearing man? You know, you know. So everybody's watching. And on the radio station here, you know, they asked me what I thought about, you know, same-sex marriage. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. You know, it comes. And I said, you know, same-sex marriage is wrong, just as adultery is wrong and fornication is wrong, you know. But our government is trying to push the homosexual agenda on the church right now. And so then they asked me, you know, about what God was doing and what we were doing there. And I shared a couple of the miracles that had happened. And I said, wow, great. So we left. And then they got a phone call. Ruth got a phone call for me and said, would you come back and be on the radio again on Tuesday for an hour, do an hour show? We're like, all right, we can do an hour show. And when we decided to wear suits to that interview, and we wore suits, and they said, well, we want to put you on TV. And I'm like, really? So I'll get to that in a minute. So we had a youth night. The next that night was a night we were ministering to young people, and Pastor Otto and I preached. We preached the message about at 1 Timothy chapter 4 about the character of a young person. Because there is, you know, Paul gave Timothy some very specific things about character that we need to maintain as young people. I say we need to maintain as young people, amen, that we need to have that character. And so I shared with the young people, and then I went in, are you all in, or are you just dating Jesus? And they all, I'd say 95% of them came to the front to commit to Christ. And they were crying, and they were broken, and God moved amongst them, and man, it was just such a powerful time. But we laid hands on every single one of them and prayed for them and ministered to them. It was just a phenomenal time. And then the pastor, I've known him for a lot of years, because the first time I went to Peru, I ministered in his church. The second time I went to Peru, I ministered in his church. And I remember he emailed me before I came that second time. He said, hey, I got a problem lady in my church. Could you really be in prayer? She's really causing me a lot of trouble. I said, okay. And I was at his church, and I said, okay, we're going to, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, you know. And I went through the crowd. I said, I'm going to pray. I said, you're going to repeat a prayer after me. I'm going to pray for you. And then we're all going to speak in tongues. And I went through the crowd. I'm going, do you agree? You're going to speak in tongues. You're going to speak in tongues. And there was this lady right in the middle in the back, and she went, I said, sit down. And she went, and the Holy Spirit hit her, and she fell out, and she was screaming in tongues. And he said, that was my problem lady. So Pastor Samuel Lazaro is a good friend, and he emailed me. He said, hey, Friday night's our youth meeting, man. Come ready to speak to youth. And then on Saturday, we went to, we had a youth convention, and we did something in the morning. I don't know. We did something in the morning. We spoke somewhere. We went to this youth convention talking about leadership on Saturday night. We did 4 hours there. Pastor Otto did 2 hours. I did 2 hours. And again, it just come down to, you know, he talked to them about the leadership skills out of the Word of God that he has. He's going to be teaching them in September on a Wednesday night in here when Pastor Jesse finishes. But as we were sharing in there with these young people, you know, it's kind of funny because you feel like, you know, no offense to young people, but a lot of times they don't pay attention real well, you know. And you want, they're talking and they're kind of playing and they're getting up and they're going to the bathroom and stuff. And I'm sitting in the back while Pastor Otto's speaking, you know, and I'm watching. And I'm like, well, you know, so they're getting it. You know, they're laughing with him, you know, and clapping and stuff. And then it was my turn, so I went and I spoke and talked again out of Timothy, the character of a young person and stuff. And, you know, are y'all in? And then the young people just, they all came to the front. And they were broken, and they were crying, and just tore up, you know. And you think, just when you think no one's listening, you know, they're with you, Romina. They're right with you, you know. No matter what's going on, it's just like, and they committed to Christ. And man, you can see Pastor Otto and I, we went through, and we just, I laid hands on every person, and so did he. We just prayed for him. It was pretty intense, pretty powerful time, just praying for and empowering these young people. We had a great time that night. And then Sunday morning as we left there, we went to pastor another Samuel's church, and a missionary from Argentina, and that's Caesar and Ruth. It's the best picture I got. And we ministered there, and again, half the congregation came forward to commit to Jesus. It was just, I mean, I saw like 500 to 600 people this week make a commitment to Christ, to go all in, to stop playing games, to go all in with him, to put on the character. And that's Pastor Samuel at lunch right afterwards. And just he's a missionary from Argentina to Peru. And we had a great time with him. And then we were with Pastor Gilbert Faust. You remember him? He was here. He's got the big Peruvian flag behind his stage. And because this is the month they celebrate their independence from Spain. And so we ministered there. And again, 2/3 of the people just ran to the front to commit to Christ. It was so powerful. It was just an incredible time. And then we were on television. Like I said, that's the television set. They gave me 2 hours. Gave me 2 hours. Yeah, 1 hour each day. And they said, you know, it's just amazing, you know, because I know it's because people are praying for me. I know it's because people are interceding for me. Like Paul talks about here in this passage, that enables me to have opportunities like this. And they got so many phone calls when I was on the radio, they wanted us on TV. And those are the prayer requests that have come in the month of July. And they were getting a lot of prayer requests while I was talking. So they said, well, would you come back and do another day? So we went back the next day, did another hour the next day. And they said, okay, now next time you come, we'll put you on TV every day if you want. And we'd like you to come and speak in our church, because they had a church there too. And we were praying and preaching, and I preached the message, When God Fights Your Battles, you know, on the TV there, and just so many prayer requests came in, and we prayed for the people, and it was an incredible time, and the pastor was just so thankful that we were willing to do it, and like I said, we can't do it without you guys being behind us, and so it was just an incredible time. And then we were back at Pastor Gilbert Faust's church on Tuesday night, because Monday we took off. Monday they usually give me a day of rest, and people were calling, can he do a meeting on Monday? And they're like, no, because of all the times that we'd already spoke. But we were back at Gilbert's church, and I was speaking on leadership there. And as I spoke to the leadership, he told me before we started, he goes, I want you to pray, lay hands on all the people. I'm like, man, I'm looking around, I'm like, there's a couple hundred people here right now. I'm like, this is going to be fun. And so Autumn and I were up there preaching, and while I was up there, the Lord said, I want all the people to lay hands on Gilbert, all the leaders to come and get behind him and lay hands on him, because they're getting ready in September to launch into a building program. He'll have the nicest church in Lima, Peru. It is beautiful. He's got 11 acres, and he's ready to go. And the Lord has confirmed with him that he needs to start. Now, it's only going to cost him $2 million. Here, the building would cost probably, you know, $10 million. It's only going to be $2 million down there. You know, he's got 5,000, I think. So, you know, you take a step of faith, right? So, Pastor Gilbert's on the right there, and that's Ruth and Caesar on the left. They set up all our meetings. Caesar, this young man here, most churches sent a driver to pick us up every time, but Caesar's like, I don't like that car, you ride with me. And he would wait to see what kind of car they pulled up in. And he's like, no, you ride with me. Because his company lent him the company vehicle to drive me around all week. So he took off work and drove us around all week and just hung out with us and was a tremendous blessing to us. And I know that God is just going to bless that young man for, you know, his faithfulness and how he honored us. It was incredible. And he just made sure that we were taken care of. They gave us soccer shirts. Said Papa on the back. I said, I got a picture. Get a picture of that. That's what my grandkids call me, is Papa. So Peruvian soccer shirts. You know, I had a suit and a tie on. They're like, come on, put the shirt on. I'm like, really? You know, so I put the shirt on, and they took pictures, and it was fun. But just, you know, the leaders laying hands on him. Gilbert really needed that. You know, his ministry, he had 250 ladies come to Jesus last month at one meeting. 250 ladies at a women's meeting. And he's like, our church is growing. And, you know, with the church growing, there's been issues. So keep him in your prayers. And then there's the food. You know, we ate. We ate really good. And that's an Italian restaurant. They make great lasagna. And the next one is Pastor Otto and I eating on the streets. That was like a waffle with a hot dog in it. It would have been really good with ice cream. And we're right there. We're standing right next to a ministry place. They preach 10 hours a day out there on the street. And it's a shopping district. It's the wholesale district. It's where everybody goes to buy wholesale. And the streets just close to cars. And all these people are walking in. They stand out there and they preach 10 hours a day. Pretty awesome men of God. And, you know, a lot of French fries and chicken, man. That's the main staple there, French fries and chicken. And we ate a lot of that, and it was good. Pastor Otto and I sit. He loves this restaurant called Mango's. We went to and visited and just had a really nice lunch with Pastor Arturo. And then that was a lunch with Pastor Samuel's church and all the people that came to lunch with us. And then this last picture is, that was my lunch, man. It was a top sirloin with an egg on it, a hot dog, rice with fried bananas, and French fries. Chicharrones with a cup of coffee. It was so good. Well, that was our trip, and this is made possible because of what number one is today. And number one is prayer. Without prayer, this stuff doesn't happen. I could not, even the pastors down there, they said, God's grace is on Ron right now. Man, we can't believe all that, the favor. I mean, to walk in and speak at the Assemblies of God meeting like that, I'm like, wow. I mean, I didn't have notes. I didn't have nothing. I just walked in with my Bible. I set my Bible on the pulpit. I walked down on the floor and revved up and phew. And they said, you talked about everything we've been talking about for the last 2 days in an hour. And it just confirmed everything that God's called us to do. So, pray with an alert mind. Don't just, well, what should I pray today? Be alert to what's going on. There's plenty of things to pray about today, amen? Be alert. He says, pray with an alert mind. Don't just go into prayer, well, I need to pray. No, pray with purpose, amen? Get in, enter into prayer with purpose, and then do it with a thankful heart. When you pray, thank the Lord, amen? As I said 2 weeks ago, we have to have a heart of thanksgiving. So when we pray believing. It's just like today, we pray, we come, we exalt the Lord. Pray with thanksgiving in your heart, knowing that he's going to answer you. Believe it, amen? And then Paul said, pray for us. You know, you need to pray for us. You need to pray for the leadership of the church. Not just, you know, health. You know, when I'm gone, you really need to pray for Delonda. Because when I'm gone, the enemy doesn't attack me, he attacks her. She needs that prayer covering when I go. You know, it's not because she's not going. It's because when she's at home, the enemy just tries to attack her. So I need you guys to be praying for her as much, if not more, than for me. You know, Donna calls me a rhino. She says, you know, that I just bull my way through. I just push through. Not, you know, I don't stop. I just keep going. I mean, I spoke 6 times at that school that day, and I'm like, that's a lot of times right now, you know? It's a lot of hours, because that's 3 hours of straight conversation. And my voice never faltered or anything, because people were praying for me. You need to pray for us. Pray for the staff. Pray that God gives us wisdom. God gives us opportunities, amen? More opportunities to share the gospel. I pray for you that you would have opportunities to share the gospel. And, you know, and that's what he said. He said that God will give us many opportunities to speak about the mysterious plan concerning Christ. And I pray for you that God would give you those kind of encounters that you could share Jesus with people. That's the thing, that you would have the boldness and the strength to open up your mouth. And I want you to pray for opportunities for me. I would love to preach every day of the week, except for one. I don't know what day that is, but, you know. Because that's what God's called me to do, preach the word. And Pastor Otto and I, man, we tore it up. We laughed. We had a blast just preaching the word of God. We cried with people. We ministered to people. We prayed. We laid hands on. It was just an incredible time. And you know what? That's what we need to be about. We need to pray for opportunities to be able to do that. And then pray that we would proclaim the message clearly, amen? That people could understand it, that people could get it, that God would give you ideas on how to share the message of Jesus. Because he will. He's given me so many ideas when I had to speak to specific groups of people. It's just amazing. And then the response, like when I went classroom to classroom, I mean, the last time I talked to a room full of teenage girls was never. You know, when I coached 12 and 13 year old girls in soccer, I thought I'm going to kill them. You know, they were a little rough on me, you know, and mouthy and everything. And I'm like, ooh, you know. And so when we were in the classroom and they're kind of acting out a little bit here and there, I'm like, you know. I was meek. Amanda, I was meek. I had the ability to squash them, but I didn't. Power under control. But we need to pray that God that we could proclaim the message clearly as we should, that people can understand it. Don't talk about heavenly things to people that don't understand what heaven is. I remember Delonda said one time to a lady, now this lady went to church, so I understand, but Delonda said, you know what the Lord told me? And the lady goes, what? Delonda goes, well, the Lord told me, God talks to you, really? You really think God talks to you? See, so you got to communicate in a clear way so that people can get it. Now, this was a church person she was talking to and didn't understand about God speaking to you. But I believe that, you know, in John chapter 10 says that my people know my voice, my sheep know my voice. Amen? So, and while you're praying, number two, live wisely among those who are not believers. Live wisely among them. Look, ask the Lord to give you wisdom on how to minister to them. I know that when, you know, in Peru many times, when we would go there, people would say, can we make you lunch? And I'd be like, oh, great, Peruvian lunch. Somebody's home. Good. And we'd go to the home, and the home would be filled with people. We'd walk in. I remember one time this one lady was traveling with Delonda and I, and she goes, who are all these people? I said, opportunity. And before we ever ate, man, they were crying and laying on the floor in the power of God. And I'm like, all right, let's eat. But that's create opportunity. Live wisely among non-believers. Matthew 10, 16, it says this. It says, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So, be as shrewd as snakes, okay, and harmless as doves. He's telling us to be shrewd as snakes and harmless as a dove. So be shrewd on how you set them up. Amen? Set them up for the kingdom of God. Make a way that you're like, that they're trapped. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, that you create opportunity to minister. You have to do it. Figure out how. Because listen, if you don't, they may go to hell. Let that impact you a little bit. You know what I do? I love family funerals because, man, my whole family's there, and I preach the gospel of the kingdom to every one of them. It's like you can't run. I remember my grandma's funeral. My grandma was a little rough, you know, my mom's mom, and they asked me to do her service, and I asked for help, and nobody wanted to help me. Nobody wanted to say anything. Nobody wanted to do anything. So I made Greg come and sing Amazing Grace. And so as I stood up there and I shared, I began to share about their lives, family, opportunity. I said, Ken, I remember when you used to sing. Dad, I remember when you were dying and the Lord healed you. I remember I came and prayed for you and the Lord saved you out of that, you know. You need Jesus. Opportunity. But you got to create the opportunities. People in China, they would invite us over for dinner, and they'd invite their friends over too. And we would just, Donna and I would just minister. It was like, we just got used to that. Whenever I was really surprised this week, this pastor invited me to lunch. Went to his home after the TV show, went to his home for lunch, and there was nobody there. I was like, really? We're just going to sit and eat and talk? Wow. Because they take advantage of it. Not take advantage of me, but in the sense they use that, they seize that opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. And they bring me in and they ask me questions and do that. Create opportunity. Invite me over. I don't care. I'll come. I'll share. Maybe not. But you got to be shrewd. But you got to be harmless too, amen? Bold like a lion, harmless like a dove. And then number three, make the most of every opportunity. If you're paying attention, God will give you opportunities all the time. I asked the Lord one day, I said, show me what I miss. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I never asked that a question again. Because we miss a lot because we're just in a hurry. We have our own agenda. We have our own thing. We have our own plan. We have our own lives. But let me tell you this. Your life is not your own in the kingdom of God. You've got to become aware of that. I mean, I know we got to go to work, and we need to show up on time, and we need to show up on time to church. And plug. Yeah. but seize opportunities. Connect with the people where you go buy your coffee. Connect with the people where you frequent the restaurant or whatever, where you get your lunch. Let them know you love Jesus and share with them how they could come to know Jesus. Take advantage of every opportunity. And that's part of the prayer time, is praying for those opportunities, and that you'd have the boldness to speak when the opportunity arises, to share Jesus with somebody. And I put in my notes here, it's time to open your eyes and take advantage of the day. Speak! Speak! Open your mouth! You know, it's like I told the young people, you don't have to worry about what you're going to say. If you just open your mouth, God will fill it. And I know that. It's just like when I walked up to that platform in the Assemblies of God headquarters there in Lima, and I walked up there, I just opened up my mouth and for an hour, and it was easy to talk for an hour. I was surprised. I thought, man, I'm out of my element right now. But God, he said, speak. And that's what I did. I took the most of every opportunity. That's what I do on the mission field. They say, hey, would you go speak here? Absolutely. Would you go speak there? Absolutely. So sometimes they don't ask me because they figure, you need to rest. It's like, you know, they tell me the next day, well, they called and they wanted you to speak yesterday, but we told them no. Well, yeah, all right, yeah. But make the most of every opportunity. And then number four, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you'll have the right response for everyone. That's what I said. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. Talk so that people would want to talk to you. Don't be so offensive that you know, because, you know, when you go out and you go witnessing and you tell people, hey, you know, do you know Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, you're going to go to hell. Yeah, that's not very gracious and it's not very attractive. But you can tell them what you found out. You know what? You could just go right into Amazing Grace. You know, I was so lost, man, in this world. I was so lost that I knew my life was on the track, fast track to hell. But one day, man, somebody shared with me about Jesus. You know, and I'd like to just take a few minutes and tell you what happened. Would you be open to me telling you what happened in my life so I could just share with you? Because I believe that what God did for me, he could do for you. See, a little bit more graciousness and attractiveness, being a little tender, or just being open to talk to somebody. It's really easy once you start. Just open your mouth and begin to love. Gracious and attractive. That's all you gotta be. Have a right response for people. You know what the world's thinking about right now. You know what kind of questions they're gonna ask you when you're on the radio. You know, are you for the homosexual agenda? You know, it's like, really? Even in Peru? Because it's a problem down there, too. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. So that may mean you got to read a little more, study a little more, be prepared a little more. Prepare yourselves. See what's going on in our society and be ready to respond to it. It's like I said with the radio, you know about the homosexuality. Well, it's a sin, and just as adultery is a sin, just as fornication is a sin, it's immoral, and immoral behavior is sin. So there it is. Be ready. Be ready to give an answer. But love people, amen. Love people. So, in concluding, what should we do? I think we need to pray. I think we need to fast. And I think we need to pray again. I think we need to fast again. I think we need to pray a little more and then fast a little more and pray and fast and pray and fast and pray and fast and pray and fast. Because listen, our world is moving rapidly. It is moving very fast. In this book of Colossians, Paul has given us such instructions that we could really be the salt of the earth, that we could be the light of the world, that people's life could be transformed because they've been with you. You've got to do something. It's time. Jesus is coming. I don't know if it's this week or in 50 years.
but I know he's coming. But what I don't know, I don't know the number of your days, and neither do you. And you don't know the number of days of those that are around you. We need to make sure they're ready. We need to be aware of the times that we live in, the season and hour, and we need to start acting like it. We need to strategize and plan to share the gospel of the kingdom with people. We need to arrange for people to meet the right people. Amen? We need to make arrangements. We need to set them up. We need to be the right person too. Because Jesus is coming. And if you're not ready, you won't go. That's a toughie, huh? Is there anybody here today that's just dating Jesus? You know, you've just been dating him. You've just been not really doing it. You just come to church. And is anybody here? Just raise your hand right now if you've been dating Jesus. Be honest with yourself because the Holy Spirit knows. You said, man, you're quick on this. Well, we ain't got time to play games. You've been dating Jesus. Let's just take care of it today. If you know you haven't been in where you should be, just raise your hand right now. So everybody here is all in. You want right over here. Amen. Okay, thank you, brother. Anybody else? Okay. Come on, one more minute here. You want to go all in. You've just been playing games, and you're saying, I'm going to go all in. I'm done with the games. I'm going all in. Anybody else? Come on. Why don't you go, those of you that raise your hand, just come on. Come to the front right now. Why don't we all stand? Come on. Come on. It's okay. Just come right here in the front. Come on, brother. Come on, man. It's the day. And we're going all in. Come on, Pastor Rob, come down here with his brother right here. Hallelujah. Thank you for making the walk. You just stand right there, and that's good. Pastor Rob's going to come and pray for you. So let's say it together. Let's say it together. This is a real thing. We're going all in. And you may not feel comfortable getting up or raising your hand, but you maybe out there you're saying, I want to go all in too. I'm done with, you know, I'm going to be the same. I'm going to be the same at church as I am at home, as I am in the street, as I am at work, as I am at the gas station, as I am at the grocery store. I'm going all in. So just everybody, please, with your heart, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that he died for me. And then he rose from the dead. Jesus! I'm going all in. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Take those things that distract me off. I give you my life today. I'm all in, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Why don't you just turn around there and let them pray with you right now? We're moving forward, amen. We're going to be finishing up the book of Colossians next week, and then we're going to spend, well, next week we have Teen Challenge. You know somebody that has an addiction issue or whatever, bring them next Sunday. Teen Challenge is going to be here ministering. We're going to have a spaghetti lunch afterwards. It's all free. Just plan to have lunch together next Sunday and just hang out. Just don't run out. Just have some refreshments today. But let me pray over you as a congregation. I know that there's things going on in your lives. I know that the enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I also know Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak abundant life over this congregation today. I speak, Lord, that they would seize the day and the opportunity that we have, Father, to share the love of Jesus with people. Lord, that your covering would be over them, that health, prosperity, and protection would be upon them, Father. That, Lord, that you would guide and direct our footsteps as we go our way today. Let the love of God be in us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul, Father God, just transformation. We give you praise and thanksgiving today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.